TVs plus LED screens. I mean, outdoor seating area, fire pit, bar. This place looks amazing.
If I were to say, how many people ask you, Monte, I'm coming to San Francisco for X, Y, and Z sporting event, but I'm not going to go to the game. Where should I go to watch it?
Splash at Thrive City.
No, but how many people ask you that?
No, a lot of people ask.
And it's like people. A tough one. It's like, yeah. Well, you can go to Kezar Pub. But Kezar Pub's a very unique feel to it. You know, it's OG, right?
I always say my default, San Francisco Athletic Club.
Which is a cool spot.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's not what you're talking about.
Right.
Disneyland had this thing. At
Downtown Disney.
But it was like the ESPN zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And it never really took off the way it should, but it's like a Buffalo Wild Wings on steroids, mm-hmm. right? Or mm-hmm. Hooters on steroids, if you will, regarding like the amenities and things that they have mm-hmm. there. This is going to be really cool.
No, this will be fascinating. This will be... This looks amazing. Amazing. So they're doing everything down there at Thrive City, man. The Warriors, the Valkyries, going to be booming. K. Fico's got a new spot up there. Shout out to David Nayfield, Chef Nayfield. He's got K. Fico out there overlooking the water and whatnot. Pizza galore. So you got plenty of food options when you go to a Warriors game. All right. With that said, you are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ, FM, and HG1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's a Wednesday. It is a Wednesday. And it's a Super Bowl rematch. I can only imagine sports radio in 1994 when the Dallas Cowboys traveled to San Francisco to play the Niners in that regular season game. Phone lines were probably buzzing. What the game meant. It was obvious what the game meant. It was much more than just a regular season game. It was for home field advantage. It was for the mental edge. It was for bragging rights. All that stuff. Are Niner fans really out there thinking that, hey, this is just another football game? Because it's not. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not. It's not just another game. This is a massive, massive football game for the folks wearing red and gold, for that Levi Stadium faithful, for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan hasn't beaten Andy Reid as head coach. He's 0-4. You want him to go to 0-5? You know, and I'm thinking about a text I just got from my boy Harry Shasky, Harry Bearson. Because Bonte, and he's as optimistic as any Niner fan out there.
I'm optimistic, Bonte.
He borderline shakes the pom-poms, right?
I mean, he's defending Trent Baalke, for Christ's sake.
He does. But he just texts me, but we have no chance in this game. People don't recognize how much better the Chiefs' defense is than our defense. We're going to struggle on both sides of the ball. I'd be surprised if the game were in doubt midway through the fourth quarter. Are Niner fans there right now with the Kansas City Chiefs? They just believe that, hey, we can't beat this team. We can't beat them. Their defense is better. Their quarterback is better. Are we there? Because this game is a pretty big deal, and I think they have to win this game. Now we're getting closer and closer to it, Shasky. The Niners absolutely must win this football game. They have to.
You're talking about like 1994 sports talk radio. My dad used to drive around in the truck, and it was Pigskin Pete predicts with, I don't know what time he entered. I don't know if he was there in 94, but at some point the kid, quote unquote, was Bob Fitzgerald, and it was the King and the Kid. And that's what used to be out here. Pete Franklin basically like invented sports talk radio on the West Coast for me. And mm-hmm. he used to flush people, and he was the best. And I'll never forget. He's like, Niner fans, you don't think this is a big game? You don't think this is a huge game? Because Niner fans, you say, well, everything's about the playoffs, right? Every week was life and death with Niner fans mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. And the fact that Big D, he's called Big D. He hated Dallas. Dallas, I hate you. They owned us. They owned a Regency, if you will, in our domes mm-hmm. as Niner fans. And we didn't think Steve Young could get over the hump.
Yep.
And in a similar fashion, it sure feels like just replace Steve Young getting over the hump and put Kyle Shanahan in there. It's not even about the players. It feels like Kyle can't get past the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm telling you, man, this game is humongous. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all, but for them to get their season right, this would be a signature win, a galvanizing force. I look at all the things that have gone wrong on this team this year. Everybody's worried about money and next year and who's available and who's not available. And I'm not saying it feels like two or three different teams within one, but they certainly don't all feel like they're united at this point. Right. It's just my feel. This is just my feel. This is the kind of win that gets everybody on the same page. Yep. And you go on a little run here.
Yep.
And you beat Kansas City, you beat Dallas, you go into the break, and heck, really maybe you get CMC back.
Man, maybe. You're 5-3, too. You're 5-3.
This could be the galvanizing point in the season that we look back on come week 13, 15, right. 14, 15, whatever, and we say that was the moment the entire season turned.
It's a huge swing game. It's a huge swing game. Let me hear from the fans. Gabe in San Jose, what's happening? What's happening? What's up, Gabe?
What's up, gentlemen? How are we doing this morning?
Doing great.
Good.
Good. Hey, I just want to touch base on this game, man. I agree with you guys. This is a huge game. This is enormous. It's just for the mentals of not just the fans, but for the players in that building. I know they have to say whatever they're going to say when it comes to reporters, but the Chiefs are living in that building and in their head. And once you get over this hump, then you can actually look and say this is that signature win. We go on a run. Say we go and we go to the promised land, win the Super Bowl. We know that we have this game in our back pocket, and we can look at that, the season and say, yeah, we took out the Chiefs together.
All right, got to flush it, only because the connection was bad. You're spitting good facts there, Gabe, but your connection was bad, so you need to contact Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain at floydwater.net. We've got to fix that reception. Let's go to Francis in Oakland. Francis, what's happening?
Hey, boys, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
What's up, man?
All right, I got two things for you. First of all, to Shasky's point about circling a big game on the schedule, so I run a semi-pro soccer team in San Francisco. It's a San Francisco Soccer Football League. There's 36 teams in the league. It's the oldest soccer league in the history of in the country. It's a great league, very competitive. I know you guys don't cover soccer, blah, blah, blah. Not trying to push for that, but what I'm saying
no,
is...
Hey, hold on real quick, Francis. Francis,
yeah.
I love me some soccer. Come on now. You know that.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll get you out to Boxer Stadium then.
Come on, let's go. I've been to Boxer Stadium plenty of times.
Played my eighth grade championship game right. in soccer in the rain there against St. John's. Somewhere young Guido's driving around. Guido, we beat you guys in the rain, eighth grade championship.
How'd you do?
I don't even. I wasn't a great. I was physical in soccer. I wasn't very good.
Did you
a lot
get
of yellow cards.
Wait,
a
you're
lot
physical?
Of yellow cards.
Physical? You didn't get hurt though?
No, I was always physical. I would always slide tackling, pushing, elbowing. Yeah, I had to make up for my lack of no skill.
Continue, Francis.
Hey, did you get the dub?
Yeah, we won.
Jesse?
Yeah, we won.
Let's go.
In the rain.
In the rain.
All right, nothing like that. So look, in the league, there's about 22 games a season. It's a 6-month season, and every single year, every team, I can guarantee you, is circling the game where they get to play Olympic Club. Olympic Club has won four out of the last 5 years in the championship game. They've been around in the league for 100 years. It is the, you know, more affluent, if you will, like group. And everybody wants to win that game. I can guarantee you that is exactly the type of game that this is for the Niners. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Thought it was a good example.
Great analogy.
I do have a question for you, though, for this one specifically, because the Niners know what they're getting with the Chiefs. For the most part, I know it's a different team, but here's the question is, like, if the Niners really have Super Bowl aspirations, and we know, which we do, with Super Bowl or bust, how much do they really want to show the Chiefs in this game? Like, do we want to hold on to anything? Do we want to let it go? Like, you know, or maybe just blow it. I don't know. Thanks for taking the call.
Francis, good call. Good call. Show them everything. Like, I heard this argument about Ben Johnson and Detroit Lions and how they were spreading it out and just running trick plays or whatnot. And some people say, well, maybe he could have held that. To hell with that. I want you to prepare for everything. I want you to know that a flea flicker's coming. I want you to know that a reverse is coming. I'm going to open up the whole enchilada on your ass. It's up to you to stop it, all right? So to hell with that. To hell with that. Show them everything you got. Show them that when we see your ass again, you're going to have to prepare for this, that, and the other. And then we still may have something up our sleeve. So the hell with saving plays. The hell with that, Steven Rizzotto. Show them everything. Open up the damn playbook. Throw deep. Throw short. Throw everywhere. I want fireworks on Sunday at Levi's Stadium. The hell are we going to hold something back for? It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Show Spags. We play your ass in the Super Bowl in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. You're going to be up all night thinking about, man, what a shit. Oh, man, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Show them everything. I need this win on Sunday. I need it back.
So you're asking for an OnlyFans performance from the Niners?
I'm not going.
Show them everything.
See, there you go, man. You're gonna get yourself in trouble. George of Los Altos. What's up, baby? What's up, George?
You, brother, man, you hit it on the head. We got to show them everything and then some.
Yep.
Don't worry about them. Look here. Their defense is tough. There's no doubt about that. But they've won 5 games this year by a total of 33 points. Total. So 6 points is their margin of victory this year. Their friends, the referees have helped them out quite a bit on that, too. So my point is that we definitely need this game. I think especially after we blew 2 double-digit leads back-to-back weeks, and then we were on the verge of doing the same thing in Seattle, but instead we turned it around and won by 12. We got momentum. We definitely need to win this game on Sunday. Those guys can be beat if Kyle comes up with something creative, as opposed to sometimes has a tendency to be a little bit predictable. Well, let's hope he doesn't do that on Sunday. But there's really no reason why we don't beat these guys on Sunday. We've got the talent. And their offense isn't all that. Their defense, yeah, but we can beat these guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I was looking at the times since 2018 that this team has faced against Andy Reid, and I was just kind of like looking for some trends, and there's been some blowouts, so I'm sure this kind of like dilutes things, but for the most part, Kansas City's outrushed the Niners,
yep.
And that is not something that I thought would be a part of these games. Like, I was like, all right, well, we would probably dominate the run game. And this is one of those moments, like, we don't know where Jordan Mason is because he's obviously got the blue contact jersey on at practice. Does he play? Don't know. I feel like if you win this game, it doesn't have to be all this, like, sexy trick play stuff. Just run the damn ball and get back to your bread and butter.
Well, that's a mistake. As Dan and Hughes join us. Calls Chiefs games on the radio's Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network color commentator, and he mentioned how the Ravens went away from what they do, and they didn't run the ball in the AFC Championship game. And now I'm thinking about the Super Bowl, and I'm thinking about the time where the Niners had a stretch in that Super Bowl where they passed the ball, 7-8 straight times, mm-hmm. and got away from the run? Super Bowl 54. How many times have you heard me say, first and 10 at the Kansas City Chiefs 49-yard line with 1:49 left and 3 timeouts? You don't run the ball once. And the Honey Badger afterwards was saying that we loved the fact that they didn't run the ball. We wanted them to get away from the run. Kansas City's defense, and what Spags does is he makes you get away from your bread and butter. And the Niners, we know, aren't built for just a straight-up drop-back passing game. We don't need to go down that road again. So, yes, you need to run the ball. How do you run the ball against this front? I have no idea, because they're really good against the run. And they got some big boys up front. Big boys. You gotta drive these balls. This is a trenches game. There's no doubt about it, Chasky. So you gotta run the ball down their throats. But it's gonna be hard to do that. Your defense is really, really good.
It really is. And you know, it's not like the Niners haven't had quote unquote success running the ball. They have been okay at it against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sticking with it. I think that's one thing. Like, I want them to kind of just stick with the run, and I think other things will flow off it. Believe me, it's sexy to throw the ball all around the yard. But against this team with those 3 big linebackers, you might just have to like grind out the run game to set up some play action. I want to see these guys defend in space.
Yeah, no
doubt. After you've established the run.
It's time to put these playmakers in a position to make plays in one-on-one situations. We'll get to Miguel in San Antonio. He thinks that this is a big, big weekend for the 49ers. What do you think out there listening? 888-957-9570 is a number. We got some Mahomes sound. We got some Kittle sound. We got a lot going on here on the Morning Rose here on a Wednesday. A lot. Do we have a show meeting today by any way? No? Yes?
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
Can we make it quick? Like, can we not, like, try to be teacher's pet and ask a bunch of questions at a show meeting?
It ain't nothing you can do about
it. Be in and out. It is a Wednesday. Don't you want to go home to your kids, your video games, to your girlfriends?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I don't want to be in a long meeting today. Baldy in studio Friday. Baldy, Breakfast with Baldy on Friday. We'll promote that. We'll tell you more about that. We got 20 listeners coming in. Going to be a lot of fun on Friday. More on that. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Does this have big game feels to you? Big game. Is this a big game? 888-957-9570 is the number. We've got a lot more sound. All that stuff coming up, brought to you by Valvoline. Instant oil change. And it's your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
So Guru's just in the studio telling us about RJ Shaw because we know how they roll. You
Who
know,
one is of five, RJ three
to
Shaw?
Five. Everybody knows Who they're are? One of five, three to five. Let me get it out before you come in. One of five, three. Oh boy, here we go. One of five, three to fan in Dallas. RJ Shaw got into it with Jerry Jones yesterday. Jerry Jones basically said, "You know what? I could get somebody else to ask these questions. You could lose your job." Now apparently, RJ Shaw today we're discussing the situation. And they were basically talking about, you know, I would tell them next week, you know, I talked to my wife, and if I get fired, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So RJ Shaw going through the motions there. Going through the motions.
I respect it.
You know. Anyway. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got some Mahomes sound in just a second. Download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. What do you guys talk about on Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys these days?
Everything.
Everything? Like what?
Well, just like, you know, Bryce Eldridge, maybe minor league player of the year.
Okay.
What's first on Buster Posey's to-do list? Stuff
oh,
like that.
Oh, see, there you go. That's what I was looking for.
What's Bob Melvin's future? There What's his go. Deal? You know, there's a lot of interesting things going on with the Giants.
Thank you, love.
Well,
thank
you know you what happened much. With Bob Melvin?
Unlimited possibilities.
Bob Melvin, last year didn't count. It was a mulligan. Oh. This year is when the clock starts.
By the way.
Yes, Jack Bauer.
Before we go to Miguel in San Antonio. Just saw this on Twitter. Al Pacino. We all love Al Pacino, right? You guys love Al Pacino? I love Al Pacino. I think he's a great actor, right?
Got a little crazy the last couple of years, but he's 80-something.
Hey, I don't know what's going on. Old age, whatever. I'm just talking about the movie. I don't get these. I don't follow on Instagram. We're getting their personal
Your
lives.
Your favorite Al Pacino movie?
Ooh, great question. Godfather. Godfather 1. A young Mike. Michael Corleone. Learning how to be a gangster.
Leave the cannoli?
Leave the cannoli. Love it. So anyway, Al Pacino.
Come on, Pelican!
Said he has a new memoir. And he talked about how he went broke at the age of 70. Which is fascinating, right? He said he was paid $400,000 a year for landscaping for a house he barely lived in. Owned 16 cars. Get this. He owned 23 cell phones.
Wait a minute. Okay.
His accountant took his money for a Ponzi scheme. So he did Adam Sandler's Jack and Jill movie because it was the only offer at the time. That was a lot of money. He said, I was broke. I had $50 million and then I had nothing. I love Adam Sandler. They paid me a lot of money for Jack and Jill and I did it. That's Al Pacino. That's 23 cell phones.
Well, the $400,000 a year on landscaping is just absurd. I think about that all the time when I go by these like big estates and they've got all this water running and all these like flowers everywhere. I'm like, that costs a lot of money. My little tiny backyard costs me like $50 every 3 or 4 weeks, and I don't even like paying that.
50 times 5?
What?
You said $50.
Yeah, every 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh. I thought it was $50 every week.
No.
Anyway.
What is going on here?
Leave the gun, take the cannoli. 23 cell phones is what I'm stuck on.
Why is that?
Why do you need 23 cell phones?
Is he up to some Diddy stuff?
I know get... people.
Well,
so I did slide in the DMs to say hi.
When you're getting on and off Epstein Island, you might need a different cell phone
you know,
every time.
I'm just, you know, just...
What is going on here?
We're all wondering what the hell's going on. No, is exactly it.
You're all wondering what's going on. I can care less.
You sent me a video during the show. No, I didn't. He was see like, you. Did you see this?
No, I didn't send you a video.
It was R. Kelly video.
I showed you a video that somebody, that Anna sent to me. It was like, look at this. It's a little laugh. But I'm so out on the Diddy stuff. Just let me know what the verdict is and who's getting popped and what's happening. I'm not getting, I'm not you following
know.
The case.
I'm letting you know every day. New information is arising at all times.
Okay.
The case is getting bigger.
23 cell phones. I'm just wondering, 23 cell phones. How do you even remember the numbers for each cell phone?
That's a great question.
How do you carry around 23 cell phones? Do you have a case of cell phones? Do you just hold them all in the briefcase and they all ring simultaneously? 23 cell phones is ridiculous.
He's on that family plan. With himself.
What does a family plan have? Like 10 phones in all? Or
I
what?
Don't know.
I don't even know. It's really 23 cell phones. That's fascinating. Was one for gambling? Was one a drug deal? Like, hey, this is my wee man right here. This is the phone for the wee man. Just call this, you know. I don't know. 23 cell phones.
It must be nice, though. I know he went broke, and that part sucks. But it must be nice to be like, you know what? I'll just take that roll. I could use a couple mil.
Right.
Gosh, I wish I had that in the back pocket.
This is great. 707, great question. Comcast Business Text Line. Does the 23 include burners, or is it all of them? Like, did he have 23 cell phones, and didn't the burner cell phone? Do you have burners? Like,
I would love to know. I don't know. Is it like Shams where he has like updates and he has to use multiple right. phones like Schefter? I have no idea.
23 cell phones. Could be paying for all the family stuff. I have no idea. All right, let's go to Miguel in San Antonio. Let's get back to the game before it gets really wacky here. Miguel, what's happening?
Hey, Bonte, Shasky, man, what's up, guys? I am pissed. I'm pissed, man. I can't believe what the guy on Monday was saying from that Kansas City radio. Just the arrogance that I see with all the Chiefs fans. You know, they're out here too in San Antonio walking around like the Niners are nothing to them. And I'm going to say it. It's BS. If they're saying, and even the guy today said it, he was not as arrogant, but even he said they were not worried at all. We had them on a fourth down play. You know, they in this last Super Bowl, you know, they were, you know, sweating. They cannot say that. This game, if there was any game like that Philadelphia game when the team came in like they're dressed for a funeral, this is the game because the Chiefs have tried to put a 6 feet under, and we cannot let that happen. This is such a big game. Shasky, I'm with you. Fans that are saying, oh, it's whatever. No, this is that game. This can set the tone for the season. If we do meet them again, we just have to get it done. I was so hurt that 22 season game where it was just garbage time at the end and Purdy came in. That was such a letdown after 2019 Super Bowl. And then, you know, this last Super Bowl, like the Niners in a way almost beat themselves. So, you know, there's a lot where they can't stand on that high pedestal and look down at us. So this game means so much. Purdy, you know, he came in that garbage time. He's now felt what it's like to get to a Super Bowl and then not get that victory. So he's going to be prepared. I know he's going to do everything he can. The team needs to come out the way they came out against the Seahawks, where they had that energy. The defense had that energy. They were sleeping on the Cardinals. They were sleeping on the Rams. But I think if they can keep that same energy and come back out for this game, get pumped the way that we are, it's going to be, I'm going to say it, they're going to win. I've been calling you guys. I'm telling you, we need to smack the Chiefs in the teeth. We need to take it. They're up there undefeated, just thinking. They're just, I'm tired also of
is that the tagline, Miguel?
Raiders fans in
smack
the
Chiefs in the teeth? What? Is that the tagline, Miguel? Smack the Chiefs in the
teeth. That's what I want. That's what I want because I got Raiders fan in my family talking, oh, we beat them on Christmas, blah, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, no, they're going to hang on to that
way
from
me. We're going to take that undefeated away from them. We're going to take that undefeated away from them. And you know what? This is a turning page. I want to see Jones against Pooney. And
let's
this
go.
Is where it's
going to
change.
Let's go, Miguel. Now you got me going, Miguel. Yeah. Hell yeah. Snap the Chiefs in the teeth. Smack the Chiefs in the teeth. Smack the Chiefs in the teeth. Yeah.
Did I hear that right in my ear, Spadoni? Say that again to Bonte.
Oh, I heard it.
The Chiefs have not lost since that Christmas Day loss to the Raiders last year.
You didn't know that?
How many is that in a row? 12?
It's a lot.
13? Well,
3 playoff games. 5 this year. And then they had 1 at the end of regular season. So that's 9. Ding, 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 ding. 9 straight wins.
Wow.
And, I mean, that was the worst thing to happen to the Raiders because they won that game and they gave Antonio Pierce the job.
Everyone wanted to get it. Let's not act like it was just the Raiders that wanted to give him the job. There's literally every single media entity was clamoring. They got to give him the job. They got to give him the job.
I'm sure we could find a clip somewhere in this show where we're saying the Raiders got to lock up Antonio Pierce. They can make a deep playoff run with him.
When you do 20 hours of radio, you're bound to say something ridiculous. I mean, it just happens.
Wait a minute.
But this we're saying out loud. Shask and I.
Did Bonte want Antonio Pierce to go to the Raiders?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I've been saying Jim Harbaugh for quite some time. I got caught up in the sauce at one point. I went to the Sunday night game against the Jets with Big Dog City out in Las Vegas.
You were smoking a cigar on the sideline?
No, I wasn't.
I
was probably smoking some other stuff. Boy, was it. No, I'm kidding. Salmon. I'm kidding.
Salmon? What?
Smoke salmon. What else are you going to smoke?
Smoke salmon. Yeah, exactly.
There you go, kids.
There you go. Kitty Table thinks about something else. Ludman's on. He's on point. But I thought I was caught up in the sauce, too. I was like, man, look at the way AP walks up and down the sideline, big dog. Man, he's got a presence to himself. I got caught up in the sauce. Like Guru got caught up in Garoppolo Mania. It happens to everybody. But then the offseason started. It's like, boy, Jim Harbaugh's lingering out there, man. Damn.
Yeah, then game one happening as the Chargers, and he punted on 4th and 1 in the fourth quarter on the Chargers, like, 45-yard line.
Actually, that's 10 straight, because Zucci man just corrected me 4 playoff games.
Yeah, they're in the wild card.
Yeah, I forgot about
they'll
that.
Probably lose to the Chiefs this week, and then the Raiders will beat them next week, so it's just how it works sometimes.
So let's take a step back. We're in the bubble, all right? I don't think that the Niners are beloved across the country. I'm not here to say that, because I don't think they are. I think Shanahan, a lot of people don't like Shanahan for whatever reasons. I don't know about Purdy, whatever. But is America rooting for anyone to knock off the Chiefs? Have we reached that point? Because there was a point in my life where I'm done with the Bulls. Yeah. Anybody to knock off the Bulls, let's do this.
Same thing
with the Patriots. Same thing, I'm sure, with America and the Warriors at one point. Like, the Yankees have gotten to this status. Are we there currently where it's like they're about to hit a three-peat if they win this year? Do you think America is rooting for anybody but the Chiefs? Or is it too soon?
It's a great question.
There's something different about this Chiefs team, though, that, like, and I've seen it from a lot of Niner fans, even on our social, I see a lot of responses, like, people don't hate Mahomes. Like, Tom Brady, there was something about, like, he'd get in people's faces, he'd talk a lot of trash, he's manicured, he's on all the magazines.
He's coming from Montana stuff.
Correct. Like, Tom was easily hateable. Bill Belichick, he's smug, he's arrogant, whole cheating stuff.
Yep.
Like, everyone loves Andy. Who doesn't like Andy Reid?
Yeah, everybody
loves
Andy.
He's a big guy. He's jolly. Everyone likes him.
He loves his cheesecakes. When Aikman said, no, you're so right. Nobody really hates Andy Reid. He's respected.
Philly.
You know? Well, Philly hates
everyone. They hate kids. They hate Santa
themselves.
Claus.
Yeah, they hate themselves. By the way, Nick Sirianni, that whole situation.
Kids.
I mean, what Philadelphia, they're just miserable out there in Philadelphia. I mean, damn. So miserable. But I do want to.
But like the most beloved people do become hated eventually.
They do at some point. You either love them or hate them, but you become must watch. And they're must watch. They're must watched. The doc, the quarterback doc, this is a good point from 408. With Mahomes helped him. Even his wife, you know, 408 says his wife became a fan of Mahomes after the quarterback doc. And that's what I took away. Everybody was like, oh my gosh. Kirk Cousins is so tough.
Not
remember
everybody.
Kyle Brandt had the headline of Good Morning America, how Kirk Cousins stole the hearts of America. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm out there in Hawaii, and I'm sitting there at the Grand Wala. We spent a lot of money at this hotel at Grand Wala.
Wait, time out. Is this a King's Tale?
No, it's not a King's Tale.
I brought a costume for a King's Tale.
No, this is quick. There's
a scepter.
I'm not doing it. I'm not putting it on. So, and I met a roaster there, by the way. But we were sitting at the Grand Wailalea. Go look that up in Maui.
He's never been more happy than right now.
Dude, that place.
The smile on his face right now. For our radio audience, it is the biggest smile ever.
There's no guy like me who plays into their roles. I can be self-deprecating. You know, I've known people who've had... I'm not going to go down that road. Gray Walalea, right? And I'm not going to lie. Shout out to Bob Sargent. He sent me a bottle of champagne out there. I had no idea. We thought it was from the hotel. I was like, where do we get the champagne from? And then 3 weeks later...
Someone paying tribute then, makes sense.
Right. So Sarge, of course...
Swearing his fealty.
Yes. So Sarge, of course, goes, you never thanked me for the bottle of champagne. What the hell are you talking about? Anyway, shout out to Bob Sargent.
You got to keep your lords happy.
So I'm at the Grand Walalea. I'm out there in the water. And it's about 90 degrees, and it's humid. It's little clouds. There's no worry in the sky. Anna's loving life. I'm loving life. I'm chilling. And I got my laptop on my big old belly. And I'm watching the quarterback dock, and I'm thinking to myself, I get back to the sets. I can't wait to talk about it.
Can't take
or get, we get back to the mainland. Kyle Brandt comes out with this headline. Oh, my gosh. Kirk Cousins stole the hearts of America. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm out there at the Grand Walalea, trust me, it's a great hotel. Unbelievable. Probably never stay there for the rest of my life.
Is this a live read from the hotel? What is this?
Dude, it was unbelievable, right? I'm watching the Netflix talking. I'm telling Anna, damn, Mahomes is a badass. We can't beat this guy. This guy's unbelievable. This guy is, that's why he's great. Look at the work he puts in on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday. So my takeaway was like, this guy wants to be great. He is Steph Curry. He is Michael Jordan. He's all these things. Patrick Mahomes is that dude. And I got to come back to this radio show. I got to hear from Spadoni and Steiny and Shasky and everybody on television. Kirk Cousins, what a tough SOB.
I did not say
stole
that.
The show.
I said that. He was tough. Did. And he looks great this year coming off a torn Achilles.
It was all about Mahomes.
Well, for you, it was. Chronicled a couple people, Bonte. I don't know if you were watching those parts other outside of Patrick Mahomes, because clearly you weren't.
Well, no.
But there was this other guy named Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, well, Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota quitting on the Atlanta Falcons. I could never get over that.
Oh, so you do remember. Okay.
No, I remember everything. So I'm the king.
Okay, you're embracing it now. You want to hold the scepter so bad.
Hold the scepter down like he's not taking that off the rest of the show, by the way.
That is the funniest.
No, I love it. Look how happy he is.
I was great in acting class. You know what I'm saying? I feel like my calling was either to be a lawyer or an actor. And I became a sports radio meathead. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. No. Bonte in the courtroom. Oh, baby. My client is innocent.
Oh, did you see the episode we had on Lawyers?
Lemon is on fire.
You guys missed the episode.
It's Shanahan who committed the crime.
Come on, Judge Doggy. Come on. How are you going to come at me like that?
I say, we have a Shanahan problem. So listen, so all you people who think I came from.
888-957-9570.
You guys missed it. You guys missed this on the Warriors postgame show.
I watched the film. That's the evidence. I'm bringing in expert witness Baldinger, Brian Baldinger.
This cross-examination brought to you by the River Islands guest line. All guests on the stand appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for the judge to discover the islands?
God, how many of those recesses do you think you would miss?
I love when the judge is like, we have to break. I'm not breaking. I know the break's coming, judge. I'm not breaking. I've been doing this a decade. I know when the breaks are. They don't change every day.
The damn clocks. The clocks. I've been doing clocks since high school. Stop with the clocks. Clock, 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 clock. I know how to read a clock. Listen, so Warriors pre- and post-game show last year, Laura Britt played the judge, and Mully and Fezzi were on a stand. And okay. I did the whole, read out how you had the court. Who's the interview, the reporter after the case was settled? They're in the hallway. So what did you think about the case? So I did that with Mully and Fezzi.
I was
laughing the whole time. It was a great episode. Yeah. Great episode. I should have been a judge, but you know what? Laura Britt.
Lawyer, judge, king. You're Judge Dredd. You're all of those things.
You know what? Speaking of kings, every king has to have a queen, right? Well, my radio queen is, of course, Tony in Oakland. Tony in Oakland. What's happening, Tony? Talk to me, sugar.
Good morning. I love that Elizabethan music. And you know what that goes with? Because you're our King Arthur, Bonte. A king will come and the sword will rise again. Shasky, this is for you. You're a Catholic. This is the true return, okay? And so this could happen because every everyone loves Mahomes and Purdy because they're of that stuff, and Reed has it too. Unfortunately, our leader, Shanahan, is a bit lacking in this area. So if anyone from the Niners is listening, we got to get that general manager out there, Lynch, right?
Yeah,
and then
Lynch.
Our sword, well, we've been waiting. These Super Bowls, the way he messed it up last time, we could have risen, all of us, and turned with it. This is the true returning.
There it is. How does Sunday play out, Tony? Do the Niners win?
You know, Lynch has got to hear this. He's got to get out there, put on his King Arthur suit, and then everyone will rally around. We're going to win.
Hey, Tony, you know what's crazy? John Lynch monitors Twitter/X. I think you could clip this, and you could tweet at him on X/Twitter. And I think he'll find it.
Put this on. I don't, you know, when Sam would say, oh, Tony only has six people on Twitter. I don't go on this stuff. There's never anyone, you know, to commune with in that way, with the King Arthur, right?
It's true.
Tony, I'm now envisioning Tom Brady walking the field because he's not allowed to do any of these, like, pregame meetings because he's doing the broadcast and, like, hitting up John Lynch, giving big daps. Like, how you feeling, John? Well, I was doing great, and then I heard Tony in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. It just ruined my week. Tell me I need to fire my head coach.
See, Tony, you don't ruin weeks. You brighten up days, Tony. That's what you do.
Yeah, we can all have this. The sun rising.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Tony. Hey, let's talk tennis soon, all right? We got to talk some tennis soon. Tony, always good to hear from you. All right, Tony.
He doesn't have the ball.
You guys want to get wacky.
Who's Tony be in Game of Thrones? Now I'm trying to wonder. Who's Tony?
Well, did you ever see the Robin Hood back in the day with Kevin Costner?
Yo, the worst accent in the history of time. Yeah. British accents.
There's a particular character I'm thinking about. I will keep it to myself. I know exactly who she is.
Maid Marian?
No.
Oh, boy.
I see a text, 650. I wonder what Chris Mullin would say if he saw Pate right now. Well, talked to Willie yesterday, and he caught the disease, podcastitis. He caught it. It's contagious, folks. He jumped on It Is What It Is with Mason Cam yesterday. He's like, bro. He was like, I was just walking through the Wynn Hotel. I didn't know they did the show in Vegas. They called me. He goes, yeah, sure. I'm not doing anything. He goes, yo, those boys are wild. They are wild.
And I'm jealous.
He is jealous.
They're able to do whatever they want.
Do whatever they want.
And they get away with it.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
But ain't nothing you can do about it.
Cam'ron, for me, and I know it's very controversial, he's a top 10 rapper lyrically of all time. The way he makes things rhyme that shouldn't rhyme, I love Cam'ron.
I don't know about top 10, but he's good.
I'm saying for me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I love Cam. I love Cam the rapper. I do.
Killer Cam Cam.
I'm careful about what I say to them because I don't know backgrounds.
It's Mizzle.
You know, I saw people, you know, I thought it was kind of funny that Tyreek Hill did the whole arresting thing in the end zone, but I get Tyreek Hill's not the greatest human being. But I shared that photo because the photographer did a great job of capturing it. And there were so many people mad. How can you repost this? Sorry, dude. It's just a football play. I don't condone what Tyreek Hill has done in his past. Trust me. I don't condone it at all.
Just a great picture.
It's a great picture.
There you go.
That's all. You know who a great caller is? And he's actually been calling Steiny and Goo a lot lately. I don't know why. Don't know why. I don't know what I did to him. But Bobby in Los Altos was once one of my favorites. Now I don't hear from the guy anymore. Bobby Los Altos, what's happening?
What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Bonte, don't tell this to nobody, but you are my favorite radio host.
I know. I just wanted to get that out of you. That's all.
Should I just step out of the studio and let you two spoon?
You might as well just let us, you know, come on. See how jealous my guy gets over here, Bobby?
I admit it.
That's why I like it, man. Jealousy is just it's too much, man.
No, the time frames just don't work out. So let me say this. I want to talk about Shanahan, but, you know, quickly regarding that little promo that the Chiefs have, I guess I was brought up to act like you've been there. Act like you've been there. So the Chiefs are the king of the hill. I don't understand their need to have that kind of promo. And what that really tells me is that they must really hate the Niners. Because it's not like the Super Bowls were dominations, right? They came down to, like, you know, the last couple of minutes. So for them to do that, to me, shows some insecurity. So they must really hate 49ers fans, because if I had won all those Super Bowls, I would just let my rings do the talking. So that being said, Shanahan, I don't know if this is certainly isn't a hot take, so it might be a super cold take, but first of all, I 100% blame Shanahan for the Super Bowl loss last year. The fact that he can't take the ball second on overtime and not know those rules is ridiculous to me. But here's my problem with Shanahan, if there is one. Look, I think he's an A-plus designer of schemes. I think he can design plays, create mismatches. He's A-plus on that. But my issue with him is that he's basically a very average C, B-minus play caller. But what are you going to do? He's our head coach.
Yeah.
How can we make him the designer of the scheme but not the play caller? Mm. There's nothing we can do about that. So then that's why we keep having to attack the defensive coordinators, even though, quite frankly, it's our inability to score on offense that created those two losses, in my opinion, more so than the lack of our defense.
No.
And they didn't give up that many points. But if you can't score any points in the second half, that's on you as an offense.
You know, Bobby, you make a lot of great points, Bobby. You make a lot of great points. We're up against it here, but you make a lot of great points. Those Super Bowls, Jimmy Garoppolo took bullets for it. Steve Wilkes took bullets for it. Christian McCaffrey took bullets for it. There's a lot of people who took bullets for their Super Bowl losses. And I think the biggest bullet, I shouldn't even make that analogy considering what the hell's happened. Let me stop there. But I do think Shanahan has a lot of culpability in those Super Bowl losses. He does. I mean, come on, man. Come on, watch the games. Watch the games in the flow of the game and the way when John Lynch is in that suite, I cannot get that image out of my head with John Lynch yelling, timeout, timeout, timeout. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe he didn't call a timeout in that situation.
I've never in my playing, coaching, watching sports life thought that one play determined a game, ever. Now, are there plays that are bigger than others? Are there moments, decisions that are bigger, poorer than others? Absolutely. So, like, anybody, this is the only reason we lost. Like,
no, that's not it.
There are bigger reasons. Like, I'll listen to in like specific the Bill Buckner moments we referenced this earlier today. Like, oh yeah, that's a big moment, you know. But I bet if we go through that entire game, there's a lot of moments in that game, and we can go to game seven
when they had a 3-0 lead in game seven.
Exactly. So the point being is that it's never just one thing. But this is why I go pie chart of culpability. There's a slice for everyone.
I do like that pie chart though. I do. Like, when you say that, it starts spinning in my head. And I, like, see the yellow,
so if
the
you were
going to
create a pie chart last year, how big a slice for Shanahan of the 100%, it's a team organization loss, what's the slice? How big? Approximately. Give or take.
I don't know how big the slice is, but I do give him the biggest slice.
Individually,
whatever that is, yes.
Yeah. See, I give the players as a whole, and we can break it down. Special teams, botches, offensive line moments, CMC fumbling.
Yeah.
It's like 68% down. Yeah,
no doubt. No doubt.
But Shanahan, there's like a fraction for the defensive side late in the game for the coordinator, and then there's a big slice, I'd say over 25% on Shanahan. And these are just arbitrary numbers I'm throwing out there.
No doubt. No doubt. There's a big slice there. Real quick, before we end the show, we've got a couple things I want to play. And here's how a lot of people say, well, how does Kansas City feel about the Niners? Well, here's their radio station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, on the Chiefs-Niners rivalry.
We would actually view this matchup as a bigger rivalry if these two teams were in the AFC. They've played in two Super Bowls. The only difference is the Chiefs keep winning them. And after a while, rivalries don't matter if one team always wins the Super Bowl.
All right, no, this is not a rivalry. Was Cowboys and Bills a rivalry in the 90s? No, just because you meet in the Super Bowl twice does not mean that team is your rival. Chiefs fans, they hate the Bengals, they hate the Raiders, they hate the Broncos, they hate the Chargers, they hate the Bills. The Niners are on a different conference and a different time zone. It is not a rivalry.
I feel like I should be more excited for this game on Sunday out in Santa Clara, but the Chiefs won this thing four times in a row against whether it's Garoppolo, Brock Purdy. It's been Kyle Shanahan the whole time, so the Chiefs are winning on Sunday as well.
They're just confident. They don't even... Niners, whatever. It's just another game.
Well, but
that kind of infuriates me, though.
But they're in, like, the Warrior zone, where the Warriors were, which is, like, everywhere we go is the biggest game for that team of the season.
No doubt.
So I get their point of view. I'm not outraged, mad. It's just, and this is part why it's hard. It's just hard to be a Niner fan against this team. It's just really, and this is why this game means a little more than most during the regular season.
You know what? Let's laugh at Philadelphia for a second before we end the show. Can never go wrong there. 94 WIP Morning Show. This is Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, right? Bubble Bath Boy? Bubble Bath Boy said that, boy, 15, 20 years, we're going to talk about Sirianni. It hurts to say what we did at Walsh, Montana. What a take that was. Holy smokes. What a take. Well, how are they feeling about Sirianni these days?
I didn't like the answer about the kids and just doubling down and saying,
like that
basically, like, too bad my kids want to come. Like, I'm sure a lot of coaches' kids want to come up there. I'm sure that'd be a neat thing for a lot of coaches' kids to do, or players' kids, or whatever. Like, just because they're your kids doesn't mean you can do that. Like, I would love to bring my daughter to work with me. I never want to leave my daughter. She's my favorite thing in the world. Every second I get to spend with her is like a gift. Like, I would bring her to me. She'd sit right there.
Here's where I'm at.
You know what
here's
I mean? Like, it is what it is.
On that topic, two things. One, I'm very disappointed that his answer was what it was. I think it's a straight mistake.
I'm blown away.
I'm
shocked.
Straight mistake. Two, it means Lurie and Howie are permitting it, at least to this point, and didn't tell him in the last 40 hours, don't do it again.
A lot of voices. This is like a Wu-Tang concert.
Dude, so they're repping him. Here's Sirianni defending, bringing his children to the podium. Son, what a bizarre scene that was. Bizarre.
Do you think it is appropriate to have children at a post-game press conference with you right there?
There are limited opportunities to be able to, be able to share these. I love my family with everything I have, and I want them to love this game the way I love this game because of what this game has done for me. That was my only intention. Just like my intention is, like, my kids get to go play. Get to co-play catch on the field after we win. And my only intention is after a win, being able to, my kids love going up with that press conference with me. And my only intention is to share a moment, after that.
So that's Sirianni. And that's, of course, he joins Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie every single week on 94 WIP.
I have a thought on this. Final thoughts.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Self-awareness is my number one skill in life that I tell people, and I lack it at times. Trust me, I work on it every day. Read the room, bud. This is not a 162-game season. This is not an 82-game season like in the NBA where you play the Tuesday night against the Magic or something like that. And the Magic are better, but you get where I'm going. Like, okay, it makes sense. Like, you want to bring your kids up. There are 17 games in the NFL. And in that game, read the room. You were getting booed at by the fans. Then you won the game and reacted by yelling back at fans. And then you bring your kids up like they're a meat shield to deflect difficult questions. I don't think it was fair. I don't think it was fair to his own children. I don't think it was fair to the situation. And I don't think it had the self-awareness to understand what he had done in the moment. It was ridiculous. I think it's stupid. He's an idiot.
Idiot word.
No, he is. It's okay to say, like, you're doing idiotic things. Sirianni, you're an idiot.
My final thoughts. I don't know if I should say this, but a coworker of mine going through something very tough. My boy David Taylor got a text from him yesterday. So I'm thinking about you, David Taylor. My final thoughts are with you and the family. Let's talk soon, bud. Love you, brother. Final thoughts are with him.
Guys, it's crazy to think that it has been 10 years since Travis Ishikawa hit one out to right.
Now the scratch. Here it comes.
Well, we thought we had the Fox call, but oops. But you know what?
Oh, my God.
The Ishikawa call, as fun as it is not made possible without a home run that does not get enough attention, and that is from one Michael Morse.
See Duffy with a helmet on in the dugout. He would pinch run if Morse gets on the 1-1. That's hammered into left! Morse off the bench! Tie game! It's the fifth postseason pinch hit home run in Giants history.
wasn't even his biggest hit of his life. Biggest hit of his life was ending Jeff Samardzija's career by tackling him coming out of the dugout to defend.
Or ending his own career.
Yeah, so I mean, we want to talk about the positive aspects here. So yeah, 10 years ago today, two of the coolest home runs in Giants history. 10 years. Crazy.
That fool looked dead on like X-Pac. Dead on like X-Pac.
All right. I was just in Hawaii this past weekend for my best friend's wedding. It was tremendous.
My best friend's wedding.
But I got to say this. Hawaii has had the best kept secret when it comes to NFL Sundays. I mean, are you kidding me, guys? I wake up because I'm still jet lagged, so I think it's 10 a.m. 7 a.m., I got all the early morning games. Then at 10, the late afternoon. And then by 4 o'clock, I'm already done with Sunday Night Football. It was all time.
Hawaii's a nice life.
And by the way, if I got up super early at 3:30 in the morning, I could have watched the London game.
Yeah,
could have been all day.
Did you golf?
No, I didn't have time for that. I just stayed at a palatial estate in Kauai and just hung out there.
Wow.
Oh, boy, got after it.
Going out there in February with the family.
Where at? What island?
I got it all in here. I don't know.
Baller over here. Oh, we got to get Steven Risotto, another Rudy guy here at the station.
Another Paisan in the building. No, Steven Risotto. Yeah, we need another Italian.
Yeah,
let's go.
Don't wear that purple stuff in here.
We're going to Maui. And then we're staying at the Grand Hyatt somewhere.
Oh, wow. Nice. Y'all balling over there. Maui?
Yeah, the Kauai Resort and Spa.
Damn.
We're going to spread Pops' ashes.
Damn.
A little family
Big buddy Shasky.
Look, my mom and everybody, we're going to go.
Damn. Three houses? A trip to Maui? Oh, my gosh. Who's the real king around here? Steven Risotto, get in here. Welcome to the club, buddy. Welcome to the club.
It is good to be here. I appreciate you guys. I'm kind of getting worked in here at 95.7 The Game, but I got to experience the morning roast shenanigans. So I got to see King Bonte. That was cool.
This is Bonte.
This is a crazy experience, I guess.
Dude, you've been on the show before, Steve. It's not like you're surprised.
No, but now he's a part of the team, Bonte. It's a little different.
He's always been part of the team. Always been part of the team.
Well, I appreciate that.
But we got one person now. Now this is great, actually. Now having you aboard, I hope you come around a lot more often, because now you can get on Sam Lubman. Who's the biggest Giants fan here? Is it Lubman or Risotto? Who knows more about the Giants? Who's going to get triggered more? Oh, I like this. I like this a lot. Lubman, you got competition here, buddy.
He doesn't know what you're saying. He doesn't have headphones on because Steven's wearing them. But I'll relay the information to him.
All right, relay the information. Sure,
no, he thinks that Steven's smarter than you when it comes to the Giants. That's basically what he just said.
Sam Lubman is a baseball junkie, and I can't say anything more nice about him.
There you go.
It's okay to say bad things about people around here, trust me. It'll get you a long way. Okay. I got that look, Shasky.
I'm dreading this meeting we have coming up.
Just don't ask any questions.
There ain't nothing you can do about it.
It goes an extra 20 minutes once you start opening your mouth. Got to ask about the clocks and everything. Let's just be easy. In and out. In and out. Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. I hope we're on the go. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. I'm not sure how that show went over the last hour, but I had a lot of fun. You had fun, Shasky? Yes, he did. I get to listen to Stardy Guru. What are they going to talk about today? What is Steve Kerr going to do with the starting five? Oh, this is going to wreck my day.